Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Michelle Baltazar. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us. Today's episode is for small business owners or those who are thinking about starting a small business. Our guest is Paul Presland, ANZ Bank's General Manager, Small Business. Paul, welcome to Friends with Money.
Hi, Michelle. Great to be with you today.
No dramas. I'm really excited. I know that a lot of our listeners will be keen to think about probably one of their New Year's resolution is to start a small business or something that they've been thinking about for a long time. So just very quickly, can we just talk about a little bit about your background and your expertise in this field?
Sure. I've been in and around banking for most of my career, which is over 30 years, but particularly focused on small business. In particular, for the last 4 years, looking after small to medium businesses across the country and looking at their opportunities.
What are the top three small businesses in the country?
Look, I think really hospitality is a key piece. The construction industry is another piece. And then general retail would be the three categories I would talk to more specifically. Yes.
All right. I'm not going to lie. I've always had this dream of starting my own cafe.
Yes.
Until I did a course on how to start a cafe. And I just got really scared about all the things that I have to do about the grease trap and making sure that I pay everyone on time. But I think for you, the most important thing for a lot of small business owners right now is trying to save on costs and staying profitable. So can I ask you, the big question here is the business plan. Do you need one, or do you need to really think about the world after the high inflation that we have now and just the prospect of an economic slowdown?
Well, I think there are two parts to that. One thing I would say is it's absolutely essential to have a business plan. I think if you look at successful small businesses, they're ones that have thought through the dynamics of the business, where the key drivers are of the business, and they've got a more specific plan. And it's easy to say, you know, do a business plan. What for most people, what does that actually mean? What I would be thinking about is being really crisp in describing what your business is. Who is your target market customer? What are you trying to do? What are your goals and objectives of the business? How are you going to set your pricing? Who are your competitors? What's the skills and experience you need, including how to manage the grease trap, as you said?
Yes.
What's your marketing plan? But also, one of the key success measures and also one of the key reasons businesses fail is they don't understand cash flow forecasting. It's very easy to think about making a profit, but you need to think about when you're going to get paid and when you are going to pay, and that combination between money in and money out is absolutely essential. In terms of inflation, we can talk a bit further about that if you'd like. I think it's an interesting environment to be looking into. And again, how do you think about that cash flow piece and how that plays out is super important for most customers.
Yes, I know. I think a lot of companies definitely were forced to shut down during COVID because you then realize, my goodness, I only have enough cash for a month, or, you know, when you actually have to keep the business going. So I wanted to ask you, the number one thing that's always concerning for a lot of small business owners is how do they get their finances in order? And, you know, what are the business loans that are available for them? Can you talk about that?
Certainly, it's a conversation you should be having with your bank, but let's just go back to that cash flow question to begin with. One of the first things you should be thinking about is, as I said before, how do you get paid and when do you have to pay outgoings? Because there may be a conversation you could have with your supplier in terms of, you know, what your credit terms are with providing payment to your suppliers, who are the suppliers you've got, have you got the best possible structure and deal and sort of arrangements with those sort of folks, including landlords. If you're in the cafe business, for example, as you were talking about before, how many suppliers do you have? What sort of terms can you negotiate? Then the important thing is to talk to your bank about that. And banks have, you know, many different facilities that they can talk to you about. Business loans Obviously, at ANZ, we have all these sort of products as well, business lending, but importantly, overdrafts for working capital. How do you think about what that short-term accommodation you may well need in order to meet your cash flow shortfalls or transaction flows?
Yes, I almost feel like you have to be an absolute expert at managing your overdraft, right? Just to make sure that payments go on time. And I guess it also impacts your credit score. Is there like a credit score for small businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the industry has an approach to looking at credit scores for customers. And inevitably, you know, when banks are considering it, it's what's your credit history, but also the four C's of credit. What's your collateral? What's your character like? What's your cash flow, and so forth? I think the important thing to think again though is, how do you think about what's the kind of structure you need? And for most small businesses, it's hard. It can be a lonely existence being a small business operator. You're not sure where to go, and you need a trusted advisor. And often you need to think about where are the places you can go to sort of get help and advice. And there are a number of government websites obviously available which can talk about all sorts of things in terms of starting up a small business. And banks have these sort of capabilities as well. And so ANZ, we've got a thing called the Financially Ready Hub, which is a good place for customers to go and look and think about these sort of things in terms of what are the things you need to do to sort of start, run, or grow your business. I think it's really important.
Yes. And going back to your point about the business plan, really being specific about all the little details that you need to consider even before you set up shop. Now, I must confess that I checked out your LinkedIn profile, Paul, and I saw that you visited a Sunday market or something where you bought some cakes from like a small business owner. And I think there's a lot of us out there who have these side hustles, whether it's baking cakes or doing a little bit of catering. But now, you know, we've experienced the COVID lockdowns. Any tips for those who are considering really getting into the kind of hospitality sector or the food sector, given this fear that, oh my goodness, are we going to go through a lockdown again, and how am I going to survive?
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, right now, and touch wood, we're not in lockdown space. Of course, we know there's going to be various variants coming through, but what's been interesting is right here, right now, if any of us go into a capital city in Australia and try and find a coffee, you can see a barista required, casual staff required. So the staffing shortfall is a real challenge for people in the hospitality arena. How am I going to get the right staff to be able to service customers? But also this dynamic is changing in terms of, pop-ups and the like. And the one you were talking about was actually someone who started doing it at home and didn't actually have a retail presence per se. So is there a different way you can think about facing the market? I think that's a really important thing to think through. And again, if you're going to be starting something, think carefully about how you'd go and start a business up. Do you need to buy a whole lot of stock, or can you have shorter terms and faster sort of throughput in terms of what you need to do in order to be efficient? How do you do it in such a way that you're not at the whims of sudden price hikes for materials, but also that you're not stockpiling, lots and lots of stuff that's going to last months and months and months, which may need you have to pay credit terms at an earlier stage?
So again, it strikes me that this is all about being prepared and really thinking through your inventory. How has the world changed for small business owners, especially with their finances before COVID and now that we're like kind of living in a COVID environment?
I think one of the biggest challenges for us is, I touched on it before in terms of labor or employment shortages. I mean, we know that unemployment is low, but underemployment is high, and so therefore that battle for workforce talent has been one particular piece that plays out, and that's playing out all through the value chain. So for customers in terms of supply chain and getting materials, if for example, if you're in the building industry, in the construction industry, we know how challenging it is in order to get the raw materials necessary to do the work you need to go. And the fact that those prices have gone up has really impacted that particular industry. So thinking through, again, what's your supply chain look like? Have you got a dependence on one particular supplier? Is there some price sensitivity there? How can you make sure you've got all those things you need to do? I talked before about not stockpiling too much, but also understanding that you've got a regular source of flow for those raw materials or stock if you need it in order to work your way through. That's going to be really critical over the next 6 to 12 months, I would think.
Now, I wanted to ask, this sounds like an obvious question, sure, but how much capital do you need to start a business? Like, just give me a range in terms of your customers, for example.
That's a difficult question, Michelle, because as I said before, gone are the days where you need to think about committing to a 12-month lease. You can often start, I love the term before, side hustle, because that's what a lot of people are now doing. So I think, again, I know I keep on banging on about this, but the importance of understanding what you expect to get paid, what you expect to outlay. I would be saying, if you were doing something where you're not committing to retail space, which is really the paradigm shift we've had over the COVID period, depending upon what industry you're in, if you've got 6 months cash flow sort of in your back pocket, that helps you to get up, start running, get a regular rhythm, and start moving forward. And I think that's probably a good place to start with. Now, some businesses, the cafe industry, hospitality industry, have a faster turnover, and so that's an easier dynamic than perhaps if you were building starting in the construction industry or something with a longer gestation period. So think through about, again, how long is it going to get you to get paid? How much do you have to pay for your raw materials, and how quickly can you turn them over and turn them into profitable outcomes?
Wow. So there's you really have to do kind of the hard work and the number crunching. Now, there's a saying, Paul, that behind every successful business owner is a really stressed out partner. I mean, usually there is that one person. You call on your family and friends, whether it's a side hustle or you're starting a small business. Any tips or do you have any observations to share on how you can keep your relationships intact when you're starting a business?
Well, as I've touched on before, I think, you know, people always talk to family and friends, and that's how these things start. And you then need to think about who are the trusted places, where are the trusted places you can go to for that said advice. Most small business operators are entrepreneurs at heart, and so they're great with ideas. But as I touched on before, running a small business can be a pretty lonely and challenging environment on your own. And partnering with those that you trust in the financial space, be it your accountant, your bank, or other trusted individuals is really important because, as I said before, it's not, you know, if you're a larger company, you probably have a financial controller and the like. So having that discipline around what are you trying to do and how are you going to think through the process of that. So the stressed partner piece is an interesting dynamic. I mean, I'd share my own story at home. You know, my wife is thinking about what is she going to do next and starting up a small business. And she's creative and lots of great ideas. It's fabulous. And so me as the banker, the grey-haired banker, is saying, okay, so how are we going to think through this cash flow piece? And so getting that yin and yang piece is really important. That's easier in our house, not easy, but in our house, you've got me with a banking background. But think about how you can engage a bank or a financial professional to help you with that ideation. What's your idea? How are you going to bring that to life? And again, what's that cash flow piece going to look like? Your idea might be really profitable, but if it takes you too long to get paid, it's going to be a challenge for you.
So we've talked about cash flow. We've talked about doing the prep. And we've also talked about that there are the business loans available out there and just making sure that you've thought it through in terms of profitability and so on. One thing that's kind of popped up late last year is this whole thing about cybersecurity and getting hacked and privacy. Yep. Any thoughts on that? Is that something that they really need to kind of check or sort out before they even open their shops?
Oh, look, I think that's a really important dynamic. again, you know, the world has changed dramatically. I think, you know, more broadly, it's important that you've got, you know, a digital presence in one way or another. And so the cybersecurity challenge is always there. And, you know, there are plenty of tools available to help you with this sort of thing. So, for example, the Australian government has a small business security guide, which is available online on their websites. I touched on ANZ Financial Ready Hub. In that particular hub, it's got advice on cybersecurity. What are the things that you should do? How you should set yourself up in order to do that? I mean, there's some pretty fundamental things which often we can miss in our eagerness to run a business. You know, make sure your operating systems are up to date, your software, your applications. Make sure you manage who can access your business. And so one of the reasons sometimes around fraud is around, you know, employee fraud. Make sure you're clear on who's got what delegated authorities on your accounts and the like. Make sure your password protection, you don't have a generic password, obviously. Back your data up.
You mean I can't use password 1234?
Well, it's surprising how many people have common passwords across multiple pieces. So if a particular, you know, we've seen, you know, large groups get hacked, and if you've used the same password across all your platforms, then it's challenging for you, right? And also train your staff on cybersecurity basics. We've all got those random texts coming telling us to click on links, and obviously that's a pretty obvious piece for us. But there is plenty of advice available for those that if you do take the time to invest and have a look into that space.
Yes. Now, final question. Again, going back to how do we get the capital to start a small business? One is, any quick tips or benefits from the latest budget? And also, is it worth looking at those small business grants that are provided by the state government or the federal government?
Oh, look, I certainly think, you know, the work that's been, you know, the work was done in the budget last year, I think was really important. You know, there's energy efficient grants, there's a financial counselling services that are coming through, more education awareness and technical advice, as we spoke of before. I think the critical piece is thinking through how do you partner, and partnerships are really important. I'm not talking about the way you structure your business, but how do you find an entity to partner with you? Talking about business lending is one thing. You can look at an interest rate that can help. If that's driving your decision, that's an important consideration. But you want to partner with a bank or a financial provider who you can engage with, talk about your vision and your dream, but talk about how you're going to bring that to life and what the reality of that is. When a bank or a financial institution understands what you're trying to do, that's where they can help you build out that particular dream. So communication and involvement in those sort of pieces are really, really important. Look for those partnership opportunities, I would suggest.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you once again for your time, Paul. I think you've just inspired some of our listeners who have been thinking about starting their own business this year to get cracking. There's so many useful tips there.
Thanks, Michelle. And if you're looking to do a side hustle, let's talk about how we're going to get those things moving. Thanks again for the chat today.
No dramas. Now, before we go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family, or you can help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can also send us any questions, comments, or even topics you'd love us to cover through our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And finally, make sure you head over to moneymag.com.au for all the latest financial news and stories. That's it for this episode. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.